Notice this. It's not follow me and you will become fishers of men. That would take Christ out of it, wouldn't it? It's follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there is something that Christ will do to make us as a church effective in this work of evangelism.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I can imagine somebody listening to today's broadcast. Maybe they're alone in the car, they're driving down the road, and they think, well, I hear what you just said, but that doesn't feel like me. I don't feel effective in evangelism.
Well, I know that feeling, you know, that we sometimes think, is the Lord really using me? Mm-hmm. That's what I think it's really important to remember, that the promise of Jesus here is spoken not to one person, but to believers together, to a small group of the early disciples. It's really a promise to the church. Think of it that way. As we as believers together follow after him, he will make us effective and fruitful. And we play into evangelistic fruitfulness in all kinds of different ways. I mean, if I was to try and list all of the ways in which people are involved in ministry of the church that I serve here at the Orchard, Steve.
Yeah, we'd be here for a while.
We'd be here for a long time. We'd need longer than the program. The point is that we contribute in different ways to the overall evangelistic effectiveness and fruitfulness of the body of Christ. We're not called to do everything alone, but what we do together for the sake of Christ and in the name of Christ is far, far more than what any of us can do individually. And I think that's a really important truth, especially in an individualistic culture like the one in which we live.
Sure.
We belong together in the body of Christ, and that's how we serve him well.
Well, we see this in Matthew chapter 4, so I hope you open your Bible, join us there as we continue a message, Jesus will use us to win others. Here is Pastor Colin.
This week I read a little book that I really enjoyed. It's got such a quaint title because it was written in 1773. The fact it's still in print shows its value. It's called The Art of Man Fishing by Thomas Boston. That's about as quaint as you can get. Boston wrote these thoughts when he was 22 years of age, and he read in his quiet time Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 that's before us today, and God's Spirit so burned a passion into his heart, he said, God, I want to be able to do what you say. So what will it take for me to become a fisher of men? And he wrote down his meditations. The main thing that he focuses on is the net. If we're going to catch fish, we've got to have the right net. And he talks about the net of the gospel net. Found that very, very helpful. And here are three observations that he makes. He says, the net is woven from the promises of the gospel. In other words, if we want to see men and women drawn to Jesus Christ, we have to be good at spreading the net. In other words, opening up the promises of Jesus Christ. Let me put that another way. You want to draw people to Jesus Christ, tell them what Jesus promises to do. Then Boston says, second observation, if you want to catch fish, you must make sure that the mesh of your net is not too wide. That's an interesting observation. If the mesh is wide, the fish will swim into it, and then they'll swim out of it. Obvious point. So he says, if you only speak general truths about God, if all you ever say to people is, you know, God loves you, and you never really get to the specifics about Jesus Christ, you won't catch many fish. Third observation, I found this fascinating. He says, the net must have weights on it and in the right proportion. Now, think about this, net fishing. If you just have a net and you throw the net into the water, what will happen? The net will just float on the water, right? You won't catch any fish then. So he says the net, in order to catch fish, needs to have weights on it. Now, the net, he says, is the promises of the gospel. That's the great draw. But he says the net must have some weights on it. And what are the weights? He says the weights are the law of God. In other words, people will come to Christ when they hear what he offers and when they see their need of it. Both things, the law and the gospel. Forgiveness won't mean anything to you until you see that you are a sinner. The gift of the Holy Spirit won't mean anything to you until you really see that you can't live the life that Jesus calls you to lead. The gift of everlasting life won't mean anything to you until you know that you're lost and there's a hell to be saved from. So keeping the net in good repair is essential to our mission. The weight of the law drives us to Christ, and the promises of the gospel draw us to Christ. And then here's the third observation that I want to make before we move on. We fulfill our mission by throwing out the gospel net. You see, after all that Boston says that's so helpful, you know, you must have the net, it must be the right mesh, it must have the weights on it, you know, and we've got a good boat and it's a fishing boat and it's not a pleasure boat and all the rest of it. But if we do not throw out the net, if we do not throw out the net of the gospel, then we will not catch fish. And so I'm saying that we fulfill our mission by throwing out the gospel net. And this, folks, is of huge importance in deciding what work we should do and in evaluating the work that we are doing already. How do we evaluate what we're doing? Well, here's one crucial criteria for evaluating our work. How is the gospel net being thrown out? That's the question. How is the gospel net being thrown out? Folks, it begins with the preaching. If we are to be a church where many people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this must be a place where the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed clearly always. Always. But it's not just the pulpit. You think of the area of ministry in which you are involved. And you ask this question. How is the gospel net being thrown out? Because if we're not throwing out the gospel net, we are not fulfilling our mission. Now, please understand, I'm not saying this is the only thing we do. The only thing we do is simply to speak the gospel to people. Clearly, the feeding of the 5,000 gives Christian basis for feeding the hungry. Clearly, Jesus' healing of the sick gives basis for Christian medical work and so forth and so on. But what I'm contending for is this, that in every area of ministry, including all of these ministries, we must ask the question, how is the gospel net being thrown out in this ministry? Because if the gospel net is not being thrown out, we are not doing what Jesus Christ has called us to do, and in the midst of many other needs, we have lost our mission. It's absolutely crucial to keeping the church in the work that Jesus has given us to do. We fulfill our mission by throwing out the gospel net. How is the gospel net being thrown out in your ministry? Where is there clear communication of the gospel? That's the question. So, we've looked at the analogy, and we've seen that we can learn many, many things from it. We've looked at how this promise of Jesus is defining for our mission. It gives clarity in the many, many needs in the world, the many, many things that people who are not Christians are engaged in, as well as things that Christians are engaged in. What particularly did Jesus Christ call us to as the church? And we've gained clarity about that. Fishers of men. Now, more briefly, I want now to come to believing the promise and following the invitation. I want to invite you to believe the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that's in this verse today. He says, here's the promise, I will make you fishers of men. Now, these words, I will make you, that's the core of the promise. This is Jesus saying that he will do something. And it's very important for us to grasp this, and I want to encourage you to believe it. Jesus is the master fisherman. Just look at how he connects with people from every walk of life in the Gospels. No one ever did it quite like him. But he says to his disciples, he says to us, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give to you something that you may not have had before. I'll do something in you that is going to equip you for this work and make you effective in it. See, notice this. It's not follow me and you will become fishers of men. That would take Christ out of it, wouldn't it? It's follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So there is something that Christ will do to make us as a church effective in this work of evangelism. Now, what is it that Christ will do? Let me suggest two answers to that question. The first is this: Christ will make us fishers of men by giving skill to the fishermen. And this is very obvious in the story of the disciples, that Jesus gave these men gifts that they did not have before as they followed him. I mean, they were the most unlikely candidates, weren't they? Who have we got here? Peter and Andrew and James and John. Let's start with Andrew. How many things do you remember Andrew saying in the Gospels? You can look it up. Hardly a word. This guy was painfully shy. Now, some of us are really shy. We don't talk a lot. Very quiet. Like Andrew. And so your instinct is going to be to say, well, of course, Pastor, he's talking today to all these folks who have the gift of the gab and can talk and so forth, but he's, you know, this doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Andrew, Jesus says to you, I'll make you a fisher of men. And Christ can use you in ways that will surprise you. He will work through your temperament. Your life can be a means of drawing others to Christ. Now, what about James and John, who first heard this promise from Jesus? Matthew notes that they had the nickname Boanerges. Now, Boanerges sounds like what it is. It literally means sons of thunder. Now, honestly, what kind of guys get the nickname sons of thunder? Do you think they were like Andrew? I don't think so. I think these guys had fiery tempers. They're the kind of guys that blow their testimony. They're the kind of guys that shoot off their mouth and say, oh, why did I say that? Kind of guys who say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that to the guy next to me at work. Listen, Christ can make you a fisher of men. And Peter, what can you say about him with all his impulsiveness? And yet this man, so impulsive, becomes, by the end of the New Testament, a shepherd of the flock of God. Read the first letter of Peter. So there is a work of Christ in each of these different temperaments that takes these folks, who really look as if they would be of very little use in winning others to faith in Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus uses these men, and he says to them, I'll make you fishers of men.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a message called Jesus Will Use Us to Win Others. We're going to pause here, but we'll continue in a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Colin's newly illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One for you, one to give away. And Colin, what is Christmas Stories, and who's the book for?
Well, it's for the whole family. Christmas Stories, it really tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of various people who were involved in the event at the time. Over the years, I told the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and even King Herod. And these stories have been brought together by our partners at 10 of those publishing, and they have been beautifully illustrated. So we have now a Christmas story book that's intended to be read aloud, and it's for all the family. So for you and for your loved ones, here's a way to have something fresh in regards to Christmas. Tell the Christmas story, read it out loud with those who you love. Christmas Stories, I'm delighted to be able to commend it this month.
Well, we want to send you not just one, but two copies of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support, one for you and your family, one to give away. You can find out more when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call and give your gift of support at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Christ makes us fishers of men by giving skill to the fishermen. But he does a second thing. Not only does he give skill to the fishermen, Christ makes us successful in fishing because he is the one who draws the fish into the net. Now that, folks, of course, is the point of the story in Luke chapter 5 that was read to us. The disciples had been out all night, and you remember that they had caught what? Nothing. And Jesus says to Peter, now you throw down the nets. And Peter says, well, look, we've been out all night. We haven't caught a single thing. And then to his credit, he says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And so in an act of faith, he throws out the net. And when they did this, they caught such a large number of fish, Luke tells us, that the nets began to break. How did that happen? Well, it was a miracle, wasn't it? And what was the miracle? The miracle was that Christ brought the fish into the net. That's wonderful. Now look, Jesus is the Son of God. The Son of God can make fish jump from the water into the boat if he wants to. Do you agree with that? But he doesn't do that. He says, you throw out the net. And he draws fish into the net. Folks, that's our reason for proclaiming the gospel. Because Christ does not make fish jump straight into boats. Christ brings fish into nets. He saves through the gospel. He saves through your sharing of the truth, our sharing of the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why we throw out the net. And folks, I cannot think of a greater motivation for us to devote our lives to casting out the gospel net than this conviction that Jesus Christ is the one who brings fish into the net of the gospel as it is thrown out. Thank God for that. Now, here's the last thing. There is an invitation that Jesus gives, and it's for us today also. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And Matthew tells us very wonderfully in verse 20 that they left their nets and they followed him. And they followed him for 3 years before his death and his resurrection, and then after his ascension, then was the time that they really launched into ministry that led to many, many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So my question is, what did they learn from 3 years of following Jesus? What was the big picture impact of 3 years of following Jesus that put them in a position where God was able to use them in the Acts of the Apostles in such an extraordinary way to fulfill the promise of Jesus right here? They became fishers of men. And I want to suggest just very briefly in the last moments, three answers to that question. What we will gain as we follow Jesus, that will be means of equipping us for greater effectiveness in this kind of ministry. And I think the first thing, very obviously, is by following Jesus, they gained a new interest in people. I mean, these were men that lived in the world of fish and nets and boats, out there on their own on the lake and all that stuff, perfectly content in the quiet. And what Jesus did was he brought them into a world of people. Everywhere in the Gospels, it's all people. And at first, they didn't like it. So you keep finding the disciples saying, oh, let's send the crowds away. Or when children come, they think, oh, these children are a real nuisance. And when people of another race come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they get really edgy and they say, well, we don't want these folks around here. That's where the disciples were when they began. But Christ transformed them, gave them a new heart, a new interest in people. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ will do that for us. Honestly, folks, some of us are most comfortable with documents in an office, writing software for a computer, spreadsheets for a business, reference books in an academy. And Jesus says to us, calling us out of our comfort zone, he says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And following Christ will give you a new interest in people. You might like to pray that today. Lord Jesus Christ, give me a greater interest in people. Expand my heart in this regard, because in following him, this will grow within you over time and it will make you more effective in the ministry to which Jesus calls us. And then in following him, they gained a new clarity about Jesus. They obviously found something compelling in Jesus to leave their nets and leave him on that day. But, you know, it's 3 years before the time when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Previously, they were saying, who is this that even the winds and waves obey him? 3 years later, Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. But even then, Peter does not understand that Jesus has to die for sins and rise again. Oh, but after 3 years fully of following the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, this man gets up. And there's absolutely no doubt about his message. There's conviction, there's clarity. He speaks about Jesus and he throws out the net of the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people are saved on that day. So if you want to be a fisher of men, you want to be really sure that you speak clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ, and by following him, you will find that you have deeper and stronger convictions about him, greater confidence in him, a greater sense of love towards him. You will find yourself so bonded to Christ that your own love for Christ and your own faith in Christ comes out in your communication to other people. And then lastly, they gained a new confidence in God's power, because by following Christ for 3 years, they saw lives changed. So this is the big transformation that comes when we follow Jesus. By nature, these guys, kind of loners, you know, they don't like people, they don't know Christ, and they don't trust God. But following the Lord Jesus changes that. They gain a new interest in people, a new confidence in Christ, and a new faith in God's power to change lives. Now, that is what we need. That is what we need, and that is what Christ will give to us as we follow after him. Follow me, and you will become fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. That's his promise. One story, and then we're through. The story is told of a student who came on one occasion to C.H. Spurgeon. And the student was worried that people were not responding in repentance and faith and so forth, being converted when he preached. And he said, you know, I'm preaching the gospel, Mr. Spurgeon. He said, and people aren't getting saved. And so Spurgeon said to the student, he said, now, you don't expect someone to be saved every time you speak the gospel, do you? And the student said, oh no, Mr. Spurgeon, I don't expect that. And Spurgeon said to him, there's your problem. There's your problem. Let me ask you this question. Is there a lively expectation in your heart that as we cast out the gospel net over these next years, many people will come to Christ? You believe that? I'm asking you if you believe this promise of Jesus. I'm inviting you to put your trust in this promise of Jesus, and for you to believe it and for us to believe it. You think this promise is for us, or do you think it's for others? It's for us. Follow me. Christ says, and I will make you fishers of men. And if you believe that promise today, there will be an excitement in your heart about all the prospects of ministry as we cast out the gospel net in these months and years that lie ahead.
What a great challenge for us as we think about what it means to be fishers of men and bringing others into the kingdom of God. Well, you're listening to a message entitled, Jesus Will Use Us to Win Others. It's part of a series called Rock Solid, 7 Promises Christ Makes to You. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Colin, it's Friday and the weekend's coming.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you to get to church on Sunday. Find a church where the Bible is opened and where Jesus is the center of attention. And if you live in the Chicago area and you don't have a church home, I'd love for you to join us at The Orchard. There are 6 locations in the northwest suburbs. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.
Well, thank you, Colin, and thanks for listening. I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.